Spitzer had asked me, he does all the taping of all the things, and he had asked me if I was going to continue on this afternoon in the book of Galatians, and I had told him that I would, but then after this little program, another scripture came to my mind, and I'd like for us to look just a moment at the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Now, let's start in with verse 1 there, and I want to take a few of these verses and talk about them a little bit. One of the things that we have seen here this afternoon is our children and young people portraying what the Christian world actually looks like to most people, and of course maybe exaggerating a little bit, but in essence kind of telling us what we do in our lives and what we are leaving for them. So notice what the Lord said as concerning these things. He said, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. Now, of course, he's talking to national Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and telling them as he led them up out of Egypt that God had given them certain commandments, that is, moral-type commandments, like the Ten Commandments of our lives. And at the same time, he had also give them laws of the land, the statutes. And all of these things were to be for these people in the land where God had given them to go. Now, national Israel is a picture of the church. You know, everything in a physical illustration is brought forth in a spiritual truth. National Israel was God's chosen people displayed in a nation. Now, when Jesus came, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He made the transition from national Israel unto spiritual Israel. Now, so we can take this that God applies to national Israel and also put it in our lives today. All right, he told these people, he said, verse 2, that thou might fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and commandments, which I commanded thee, thou, thy son, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Now, notice something here. God said, I'm going to put you in this land. I've given you my commandments and my statutes. I want you to observe them. I want you to teach your son to observe them. And I want you to teach your son's son to observe them. Now, in doing this, he said, your days may be prolonged. We have a promise. Now, you remember in the New Testament, God said to the children, obey your parents, and taken from the Old Testament, that your days may be long upon this earth, that this is the first promise, or first commandment, with promise. God commanded that those that would keep his commandments, his statutes, that they would be prolonged upon this earth. Now, it has a promise for us today. Now, you say, well, you're going to die whenever God gets ready for it. That's right. But the thing is, those that live godly and those that teach their children to live godly and those that teach their grandchildren to live godly, God has promised that that time when He calls you will be a long way off. That's the promise we have from the Lord. All right? Notice also, verse 3, He says, "Now hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." Now listen to me, He said. Listen to what I've got to say, that it might be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. What did He tell them? He said, now listen to me. Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to my commandments. Listen to what I've laid down for you. He said, if you do this, it may be well with you. It may be well with you. It'd be good. A good life. Do you know what the most problems of our life, you know where they come from? From us. We blame other folks, don't we? But most of our problems come with us. My biggest problem is me. It's not you, it's me. That's the way it is with every one of us. God says it'll be well with you if you do these things. And also He said that ye might increase mightily. Now there's lots of ways to increase. Now most people think, well, I'm going to do this for God so He'll give me back something double. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give Him $100. He'll give me back two. If I can get up to $1,000, He'll give me $2,000. That's not what He's talking about. There's more ways to increase than with money, isn't it? Now, we all like money. There's no secret about that. I haven't seen anybody throwing it away. If I do, I'm going to follow them. We like it. But there's more than just money. You know what an increase that I think from God is have a healthy family. Yeah. Have a family that has good health, healthy children. Amen. You know, there's one fella, it was a church member, he had to go to the hospital. Next Sunday morning, they gathered church. One guy said, "Where's old Joe?" Other than said, "Well, he's up at the hospital having his tithe taken out." You know, there's more ways for it to be well with you than one, isn't it? But God said it'd be well with you. It'll be good. Now, you can have all the help, you can have all the money, and still not be happy, can't you? There's some happiness involved here too. The Lord said it'd be well with you. You'll be increased mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers promised you. The land will yield for you good. You know, folks, if we follow God's rules that He laid down, we'll get what we need, won't we? He'll bless us. All right, now He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Now Jesus made this same statement. He took it from here, didn't He? Repeated it again. What is it telling us? What is the start of the commandments? What is the beginning place of all the things that God told us? The beginning spot is to put God first, isn't it? Now what He's saying is, you can go into this land, you can be increased mightily, you can have health, you can have wealth, you can have blessings, but first, it's required of you to love God. This is the beginning point. This is the starting point for us. Now, we love ourselves. We love the things of the world. We love material things more than we love God. But He said, let God be first. And these words That is to love God with all your heart and soul and your mind. He said, now these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now, not in your mouth. It's one thing to go around and say, I love the Lord, but it's another thing for it to come from the heart and your actions show it, isn't it? He said, I want it in your heart. I want it bound in your heart. And he says, I also, in verse 7, he said, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. What does it mean, diligently? It means with a lot of effort, doesn't it? It means really get after it. It means take some time to teach our young people, our children. You know, I told some of you one time about when we lived in Shreveport, and Linda was just a small child. Denise was too, but Linda was a little younger. Gay was in the grocery store, and Denise was running along behind. Linda was riding up here in the grocery basket. And down there, they got a lot of black folks, you know, and things. And Gay was pushing along there, and here come Linda out with this rhyme, you know, any, meeny, miny, mo, catch a nigger by the toe, and there's black folks all around, you know. And Gay put that grocery basket in high gear, and she got out there, and she said, young lady, if you can remember something like that, you can remember some Bible verses. We fixing to go home and start studying some Bible. You see, our kids can learn more than what we give them credit for, can't they? They learn things we don't want them to learn. Now, he says, teach them diligently to thy children. Well, we say, you know, we don't want to teach our kids the Bible. They'll grow up. They won't want to go to church. Well, if you don't teach them the Bible, they'll certainly grow up and won't want to go, won't they? We ought to be able to start them. And if they remember something, let them remember Scripture. That's what we do here in the school. The mind, the kids' minds are a treasure. And what you put in there is what's going to come out. And why have them memorize Shakespeare when they memorize Jesus? Amen. Why have them read some ungodly man when they can read the Bible? Let them learn the Word of God. Let them memorize the things that's good for them. Let them put something in their mind that when it comes out, it'll be good. He said, diligently teach thy children. Start them in when they're young. Teach them to go to Sunday school. Teach them to go to church. Teach them the Word of God. And I want to tell you something. He said, if you do it, when they grow old, they won't depart from it. Now, you know what we say in modern Baptist times? Here's the way we quote the Scripture. Teach a child the way he should go, and when he gets grown, he goes off and sows his wild oats. Sooner or later, he'll come back. Well, that's not what the Lord said. He didn't add in those wild oats, did he? He said, teach the child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he won't depart from it. Now, if we diligently teach the Word of God and we do it the way God says do, then God will give the results. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to sit up at nights about it. God will do it. He said, diligently teach them to thy children, and thou shalt talk about them when thou sittest in thy house. Hey, parents, how many of us sit down at night with our kids, our young people, and talk about God? Talk about the Word of God. That's what he said do. Teach them diligently. When you're in the house, then sit in your house and talk about these things. And when thou walkest by the way, when you go for a stroll, talk about this. Teach your children as you walk around. Fathers, if your little boy follows you, use that opportunity to teach him about God. Girls, mothers, when the little girls begin to get interested in the kitchen and things to do, use that opportunity to teach about God. When you walk by the way, and he said, and also when thou liest down, the last thing at night, before we go to sleep, go to bed,
we ought to be teaching our children about God. And then he says, and when thou risest up, the first thing in the morning that we ought to do is teach our children about God. He goes on in verse 8 and he says, don't stop here. He says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. You know what they did? They wrote scriptures and put them on their hand. You know, I've gone to places, in fact, it was not long ago, I took my car up to a place here to have the air conditioner checked. That's where I came down, Brother Hamill, to see you. And this guy started telling me, he started writing in his hand. You know, if we can do that with business, why can't we do that with the Word of God? It wouldn't hurt us to write a good scripture in the mornings in our hand. We'd have it all day, wouldn't we? Or write it a piece of paper and keep it. But he said to us, bind them for a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You know what these are? Frontlets. When I'm up here, I use them. Some of you folks use them all the time. Can you look at anything without seeing? Brother Paul, can you look with your glasses on without seeing the glass? Not really. You got to look through it, don't you? That's what they're called, frontlets. Let the Word of God be as frontlets. Let it be before your eyes. And then in verse 9 he says, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house. You know what he's talking about? The doorpost. You know, everybody has a tendency of writing and carving on walls. These kids do it all the time on their desk. Any of you folks ever do it on your desk, school? One time a teacher told me, of course I was innocent, but he told me, he said, fools' names and fools' faces are always found in public places. But he said, write them on the post. Carve them on the doorpost. When the child goes to open the door, let them see the Word of God. When they go out the door, when they come in the door, the Word of God's there. And then notice he goes further and he says, and on the gates. Most of us have a yard fence. You have to go in and out the gate. Write them on the gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. What's he telling us? If you'll keep in mind that God is first in life, and teach it diligently to thy children. Talk about it in the home. Write it on the doorpost and in the gates. And you'll have things that God will give you, blessings that you never dreamed of. Malachi said, the Lord said, trust me and try me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you can't even receive. Folks, you know what most of us are doing? We're sitting straddle the hall crying for pork chops. God has everything in the universe. And he gives to his children to meet their needs, yea, and even sometime to meet their wants. And we don't even recognize it most of the time. Let us remember God's commandment. Let us teach it to our family. Let's live it. Let's be a symbol to our children, to our young people. You know, we had a good crowd today. Still got a good crowd this afternoon. That blesses my heart. But you know, I'm not only concerned about today. I'm concerned about when the Lord calls me home. I'm concerned about when the Lord calls some of you home. I'm concerned about our younger generation. I hope and pray that we can be such that they will live on in our footsteps and keep God lifted up high and our Savior exalted for the great things He's done for us. Let's stand, please.